Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, writing about the new fair pay rules as published by a Department of Labor guidance order around Executive Order 13673, Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Executive Order. What implications do you expect it to have on the contracting community? Roger, thanks for coming on.
Francis, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to the conversation today. And at bottom or at core, this is a will fundamentally increase procurement complexity, burdens and costs, both for the private sector, for companies seeking government contracts, but also for contracting officers and contracting activities across the government. I've been in this business for longer than I wish to say.
143
Francis,
years.
Yes, Abraham Lincoln, I think. I don't recall in my career potentially a more significant in terms of potential cost increases and complexity, and even is going to impact the overall efficiency of the procurement system, I believe. As someone who's been a procurement professional in one manner or another throughout my career.
The scope of this is pretty striking. You write on the Far and Beyond blog, the EO requires federal contractors and subcontractors as part of the proposal submission process to report whether during the preceding three-year period there have been any administrative merits, merits determinations, civil judgments, or arbitral awards or decisions rendered against them for violations of any of 14 identified federal labor laws and executive orders or equivalent state laws. That seems like a really, really comprehensive hoop that somebody's going to have to jump through in order just to be able to submit a proposal.
Oh, absolutely. And it's for any contract action over $500,000. And part of the rule, subcontractors are supposed to provide that information to the potential prime contractor, and that prime contractor is supposed to initially make some sort of determination whether that subcontractor is sort of worthy of being a subcontractor in this context. But even more to the point of the complexity of it is, let's say you're a company who's had some sort of decision or a letter from a labor agency or an arbitrary award. You then also have to provide information as to if you want to be found responsible or address the responsibility issue, because all this information is being submitted for purposes of determining whether the company is responsible, ethical to do business with the federal government. So it's all around that process. So if you've had a situation that arose, you're also going to have to provide information as to mitigating circumstances or corrective actions or that sort of thing. So it gets even more exponential. And nobody wants the federal government to do business with bad actors. But this process is so burdensome and so complex to the point that now throughout every agency and department, there's a new position created, Francis. It's the agency labor compliance advisor, mm-hmm. whose job is to advise contracting officers with regard to these issues as to whether the violation rises to the level where this might be not be somebody you want to do business with, or assessing mitigating circumstances. And a whole new bureaucracy is going to be created around this to advise contracting officers who themselves now are becoming labor compliance officers as opposed to procurement officers with regard to this.
You're right. No reasonable person can object to ensuring compliance with our nation's labor laws and enhancing productivity in the procurement system. Is there another mechanism besides this construct where this information would be available to COs?
Much of this, it's good. That's a good question, Francis. Much of this information is already available through various reporting systems that the federal government has. It's generally information that the governments already have in their possession. It's a question of whether you identifying where that information and whether that information rises to the level of where it's somebody you don't want to do business with or the federal government. Because in many instances, we're talking about major commercial corporations worldwide, nationwide, with thousands and thousands of employees. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to report all this information if you want to do business with the federal government. You've got to at least track all this and potentially report it. And does it get to that end game where we're really trying to get in terms of the efficiency of the system? And I also note it seems, you know, it's just another new reporting requirement that seems inconsistent with OFPP's December 4th memo, which a lot of language talked about, you know, seeking innovation, streamlining process, reducing barriers to entry, reducing government unique requirements, enhancing commercial item contracting. You know, this run, you know, in my view, runs counter to, you know, that statement, that very positive statement that was made by OFPP about where the procurement system should go.
Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, writing about the new fair pay rules, the response to the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces executive order by the Labor Department. On the Far and Beyond blog, you can find a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You didn't write about it expressly in your blog post, but I wonder if we have a sense yet of what compliance with this might cost. It's one of the things that you expressed. You had some hard numbers when we talked about providing the price information as requested by the government. And I wonder if we've gotten that far with this yet or if we're still in the very early stages of understanding.
I mean, we haven't done an assessment or any of that kind of thing, Francis. But I think it's fair to say the complexity of this in terms of it's not just about the reporting. It's also the interpreting of the information. It's creating a new bureaucracy that's designed to basically, it's complex enough that you have Department of Labor issuing 106 pages of guidance on this, plus the FAR rule, plus the creation of agency labor compliance advisors, essentially a new bureaucracy. And how that's, I can't tell you that piece, how much it's going to cost the government, because I don't know how many labor compliance advisors are going to have to create and what's the infrastructure to support this new office. You can't have, I can't imagine you have one for example, the Department of the Air Force. One labor compliance advisor is going to look at every contract and provide advice to every contract. You know, it's going to be, it seems to me it's going to be a very, as someone who worked for government for 20 years, it's going to cost a lot of money just for the government to implement this.
And I would imagine that will get passed back to the government, whatever. I mean, it's going to.
Both ways.
Contractors will put it in overhead and charge it back to the government through the contracts anyway.
And officers will, you know, and the cost for government operations themselves will increase. And it goes back to something that, you know, I talk about frequently now is that, you know, there's overhead and there's direct, right, costs and expenses. And it seems like the overhead piece of the pie that you know goes to government contracting is continually getting bigger and bigger. And that overhead doesn't directly impact performance. It's all about compliance with things like this. Mm-hmm. And that direct expense to support actual performance of the mission, actual accomplishment of the mission on behalf of the customer agency and the American people, that piece of it is getting smaller. And I think in the long run, that does not bode well for agency, you know, supporting and accomplishing agency missions and ultimately for the American taxpayer.
I see two places here, though, the same word is used that lends a little bit of hope, I would think, on your end. You wrote that this is from the Labor Department proposed guidance.
That's true.
And you write from the FAR Council, they're issuing a proposed rule.
That's correct.
So it's not a done deal yet, if I'm reading this right.
Well, you could look at it that way. It would be interesting to see. The comments are due July 27th, and the Coalition for Government Procurement will be submitting comments in response to it. It's the dynamics here are, you know, very interesting, let's say, and we'll just have to see how it plays out.